Hallelujah. We glorify you, Jesus. We magnify you, glorify you, and exalt you. I love you, Jesus. 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 I worship you, Father. I praise and magnify the Lamb of God. We worship you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. If you wanted to hear something really, really precious and beautiful, you should hear these young ladies up here singing. Hallelujah. That's the joy of the Lord right there. See our young people and these down here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory, Father, we thank you. You may be seated for just a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, glory. Why don't you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 for just a moment. I want to exhort you. Thank you, Lord. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he says in verse 1 of 8, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia." Real King Jamesy, basically it just says, we want you to know the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Everybody say grace.
Grace.
Now you do know, at least by now, or you should, that grace is far more than his unmerited favor. His grace is his strength for our weaknesses, or his strength empowered to complete a task, whatever he asks you to do. There's nothing in this life that we do that we shouldn't be looking for the grace of God to complete that task. Verse 2 says, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." And that liberality was their giving. So they were going through a deep trial or a great trial of affliction, but right in the middle of it, they gave in the midst of deep poverty abounding into the riches of their liberality. "For to their power I bear record." Paul says, I want to give this testimony. "Yes, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." So basically what that's saying is they were willing to give what they had, and if they had more, they would have been willing to give that also. They just were that willing to give. And of course, it all came about by the empowerment of his grace. Praying or asking, this is what their attitude of their heart was, praying us, "with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." So Paul was receiving for the necessity of the saints. There was an offering to be given to other saints that were in dire need of that. And verse 5 says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." In other words, they gave themselves over to the Lord, asking prayer, gave themselves to the Lord to find out what God wanted them to do concerning the ministry to the saints and to the grace of God that was being bestowed upon them. What does this grace mean to us, Lord? What does it mean concerning the giving to the saints? My part in it. Inasmuch that we desired Titus that he had begun, as he had begun, so would he also finish in you the same grace also. So once again, he calls it the ministry of grace. Therefore, as you abound in everything, and he says in everything, now the word thing is not there, but it's understood as thing, as all things, and he lists a number of those things in faith. How many know it's important to abound in faith? Hallelujah. In utterance. Now the utterances here that he's talking about, it could be prophecy, because they were a church that was, they were filled with all the gifts of the Spirit. They abounded in the gifts of the Spirit, and we find that out in other chapters. But in utterances of prophecy or praying in tongues, he says, even therefore as you abound in everything, in faith and in utterance and in knowledge. Now he's talking about the gift of knowledge, or the word of knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. So this grace, of course, with the subject matter being everything that he just said in previous verses, he's talking about the grace of giving. So we understand it's important, don't we? But one of the things that we note right here is this. It's mentioned at least three times up to this verse, or counting this verse, that he talks about it being grace. And he talks about the grace that was upon them, and we see the demonstration of that grace is that when they found out the need, they went to the Lord and said, Lord, you know, our part, what is our part? Well, they had an abundance, they had a heart that was huge, you know, as big as the Grand Canyon. They wanted to do. He said if they could have, they would have done more than what they should have, but that's just where their heart was at. So it was real easy for God to motivate them or to show them what to do. But grace is, it's his empowerment. It's his empowerment to complete a task. It's his strength. And so in this, they went to the Lord and said, Lord, what do you want us to do? What is our part in that? And I think that is where we have taught, and I want to continue to lay the continual foundation over this church and in your ministry to the Lord, is that you work in grace. We don't want from you what doesn't come from grace. In other words, we don't want a solicitation of emotions. We don't want beyond you or from you beyond what you're able to do. But we do adjure you, if I can use that word, or we encourage you to give in grace. Now, grace has a tremendous responsibility to it. It really does. Because as I have said in times past, and which bears repeating if we follow the same example of the Macedonian church, is that they contemplated before the Lord. It wasn't in necessarily the presence of Paul. It wasn't at a church service per se. But it was at a place where they went to the Lord and said, okay, God, what is our part? What is our part in this? We certainly do not have time presently. It's in a whole expanse of teaching. But if any of you have ever heard the truth that has been taught in days gone past, days gone by, from Gary Carpenter concerning pound and provision, then you understand how that New Testament giving is really set up. And New Testament giving, really, if you go into all of it, just to summarize and brief synopsis, is that you find out from the Lord what his part is in everything that comes into you. You find out what his part is, and you find out what your part is. And what his part is the pound, and that's for giving. And what your part is the provision. That's what you get to keep. That's what you live off of, and that's what you prosper off of. And that's the grace of God. So in that, we continually teach is that you contemplate, not necessarily here, but always before the Lord, as you abound in seeking God to go into revival and wanting to be used in the gifts of the Spirit, in faith and in utterances and laying on of hands and watching people get out of wheelchairs, that you also contemplate and say, God, what is my part? A number of years ago, and I'm not saying I'm the epitome of this, I'm just, I caught what the Spirit was saying through Gary Carpenter, because it's line on line, and he proves it as the Word of God. And so I was able to go, and it's a responsibility, because it's a little bit laborious, but there's a grace of God in it, and there's a real freedom. There's a real freedom that comes with it. And I was able to go in and say, okay, Lord, show me what your part is and what my part is. And so I'm just like most of you sitting in this room. If you work for somebody, or even if you work for yourself, most of you understand what it is to live on a budget. You understand when there's an available amount there to have a budget. And so a long time ago, I was able to say, okay, Lord, based on a very prayerful and a conscious decision of what this church, and the size of this church, and what comes in, what's a modest but yet affordable and something that I could say I can, in good conscience, live with. See, that's the thing in giving, is a good conscience. And so the Lord separated that, and I understood that after that. And that's really been ever since I've been here. It's been that kind of, and the only reason why I'm saying that is an example, just use an example of the conscious decisions that it takes to work in that kind of grace. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, if you gave $50,000 tonight, which would be wonderful, how much of it would you get, Pastor? Well, what I would get, as far as I know, is a paycheck. I might go to the Lord and say, Lord, can I have a little raise here? But that's where things, that is, and see, the wonderful thing about understanding where He has you at every juncture of life is this. When you go to do something for yourself, you can do it. See, religion or the spirits of this world will do everything they can to put you under subjection to condemnation, and that's how most preachers pick up the money, through legalism. And thank God you're not under legalism. Thank God we just encourage you to listen to the Lord. A woman one time, and in a couple of different of the Gospels, we read, Mary broke an alabaster box and poured it on Jesus and ministered to Him. And of course, in one gospel it says the disciples, another one it says Judas, which I'm sure it must have been him. It had to have been him, because John says it was. Said, this could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. And 300 pence was about a year's wages for a common working man. Now, I don't know where that's at now. It's not common working, the average. That can have a different connotation. But an average working man. So an average, I don't know. I mean, you could go low end, high end. But I'm not talking exorbitant, just an average. If a man made $30,000, $40,000, which would be very, very average nowadays. I don't see how families can hardly live, but they can, and most families do. But can you imagine a gift in today's numbers being given at one time to Jesus, $30,000 or $40,000 in value? And religion spoke up right then and said, "This should have been sold and given to the poor." Well, that's a very intimidating statement. That because, you know, you think, well, wait a minute. Why am I allowed to do this? Because that's right. There are poor people out there. There are people. You know, Jesus wasn't intimidated by devils. He did give a wonderful piece of wisdom. He said, look, he said, the poor you're always going to have with you. And you can do for them whatever you will at any given time, but you're not always going to have me with you. And one of the statements that he made there was this. It's important for us to know. There's always going to be poor around us. There's always going to be poor in the church. There's always going to be needs. There's never going to be a time where every need is met on the face of the earth or in the church. There won't. I mean, you can have overall the needs met, but then when you have more people come in, you're going to have more needs. And you're going to have poor among you always. And that's just, it's just the way life is, because some people don't know how to handle money. Some people, even if you give them $10,000 today, they, you know, next week they would need another $10,000. They just don't know how to handle it. So the poor you will have with you always. But here's where you come to a good, see, this is where I can go out at times and enjoy a good meal and know that there are poor still around me. How can you do that, Pastor? One is because I come to a conscious, God-given understanding on a continual basis, or on certain, I know where the last time he spoke, what I'm supposed to be getting. I can live with that and say, okay, am I taking more than I should from the pound? And the other thing is just to know this. I can bless myself and be blessed as long as there's not a Lazarus at my gate. Do you understand who Lazarus was? He was the poor man that died at the rich man's gate, and the rich man walked by him daily and did nothing for him. You're not going to be responsible in this life to meet every need. But at times, God is going to put people in front of you and say, I want you to do this, or I want you to do that, or I want you to slip them this, or I want you to slip them that. There are times when God says no. Sometimes I believe the worst thing you possibly can do is to try to help somebody when you're not supposed to. But your acclimation, or you're prone to wanting to help people, because that's the will of the Lord. But I can sit down in meekness, hopefully, enjoy a good meal, and know that the poor are still around me, because I know I'm separating what I should to God, and also that there are no Lazarus around me, that while I'm eating a steak, God told me last week, go bless that person, and I didn't do it. And so it's all a thing of conscience, and it's all a thing of grace. And the grace of the Lord is this, that whether it's in this service or wherever you're at in your life, that you're saying, Lord, I know as my Father, you're not going to ask more of me than what I have, and you want me to be blessed, and you want my children to be blessed. But Lord, what is it? How much? And for many of you, that's a lot of different ways. And that's why I'm not the Holy Spirit. Some of you don't get paid on a weekly basis. Some of you don't get paid on hardly a monthly basis sometimes. But whatever that is, that contemplation is between you and the Lord. That way you can say, man, I know I'm going to be thoroughly blessed. And also when I sit down, or I go buy myself something, or I go do something, I can do it with good conscience because I'm obeying him over here, and there's no Lazarus at my gate that I haven't done what I need to do. Hallelujah. And that sets you free. You can get in there and enjoy what you're doing and enjoy what you bought for yourself, because you know over here you've been obedient. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love and your goodness to us. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'll bless this offering tonight. And our real objective is not even this offering, but, Lord, the days ahead and everything that you'll have for us and everything that you'll have for us to do. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and thanksgiving. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, there's a church service right there. Amen. Amen. All right. Why don't you go ahead and get ready to give. And guys, if you'll, and this is your time to give somebody a great big hug. If you haven't, well, you haven't had that opportunity yet. Hallelujah. So go ahead if you have something and if you already contemplated that, go ahead and bring it down. But let's all stand together. Hallelujah. We love you. Greet one another. Amen. And Rex, if you'll bless this and if you'll give us a brief testimony of last week we prayed concerning Rex's and Marcia's venture to the funeral that they were going to go to and he was speaking at. So share, please.
Yeah, they had the memorial service in Tampa. They live in a gated community, so was at the clubhouse that they had there. And maybe 25, 30 people were there. Johnny, the husband of the lady that died, he spoke first. And he's been born again for a couple years. And he came out of the club and motorcycle club. He was in it for years. I've known him for about 12 years. And to me, the greatest testimony was his own. He got up and shared his salvation with everybody there. And then he just gave God the glory of his wife, who received her salvation 3 hours before she went home. So, I mean, it was just, to me, that was quite a celebration right there from him to be just bold and just thankful and just seeing his walk, you know, with the Lord was real good. He had on all of his rings. I didn't realize that he still had all of his outlaw rings, so he had them all on his fingers. But he won't be wearing them again. So I saw that and I thought, well, you know, devil, you're, you know, still trying to get a little hold here, you know, because I hadn't seen all the rings on his hands since he took off his patch. But that's not going to hold any water. And then three of us got to share just a little bit about, you know, basically knowing her and knowing him and, you know, just. I was the first one that spoke, and I just told him, it's like God has nothing to do with all of her suffering and all of that hurt, and you know, and then I just wanted them to know how much God really loves them, and he's not a part of any kind of evil thing, and it was a celebration service, and it was really good to see how Johnny himself. He was so elated, it really was. I mean, of course, there'll be days ahead, you know, of she's not here and all that, you know. It doesn't hit you for a little while, but it's going to be a celebration anyway, you know, just like any of us that have lost. And, you know, I've lost family members and loved ones and all of that. But if they're going home, if they're going to heaven, I mean, it's nothing can touch that. It is truly a celebration, you know. But there is a loss that goes with it too. So I also just mentioned to him, it's like don't let that grieving turn into a negative place. It's, you need to grieve, but don't let it go in a wrong direction for very long, because the Lord is there and he is the hope for all, and just turn that back into him, and you know, because some people will suffer with that for years. I've seen it, and that ain't gonna happen for them that were there, I believe. But then we got to go to Ocala. I didn't know the Lord had all this planned. I mean, it came up so abruptly and so quickly. But someone was praying that they needed their truck loaded to move. And God never tells you the whole story, what's going on. So I ended up working all day Saturday. Marcia and I, we loaded up this U-Haul, and we got her moved. But she prayed. And we didn't know this until it all happened, but she had praised the Lord. I'm not going to ask these other guys who would come there real quickly because they're always there. She says, so you need to bring somebody to help. And I told her that too out of fun. I said, yeah, Joni, we're here because you prayed. It's your fault that I'm loading your train. But the greatest thing is, I mean, we heard and obeyed. And I tell you what, I mean, no matter what you do for the Lord, and I was just ecstatic because I've had kind of a dry spell and not really hearing and just, you know what I'm saying? You go through those spells of, or those times of dry, 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 dry. It's like, okay, Lord, are you still there? You know, and of course he is, you know, but so I was just elated that I heard and I obeyed, even though that he put me to work. But in the days ahead, we're going to be working a lot more, so get in shape. Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, pray over the offering. Oh.
Yes, and then I'll pray over the offering. So, Father, we glorify you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not going to pray over it. I'm just going to thank you for it, Lord. I mean, I thank you for the offering. I thank you for the days ahead. I thank you for the revival. I thank you for our health springing forth speedily in the days ahead. I thank you that we're going to hear you clearer and more defined and with clarity in the days ahead.
Yes.
I thank you that we're going to lead, guide, and be directed by the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for it. I thank you for this offering. I thank you that every need is met. I thank you, Father. I just thank you for it. I thank you for Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Thanks, Rex, for that good testimony. Hallelujah. Amen. We want to, once again, we did this Friday night, but I'd like for us to pray for Sister Callie Pearl. She asked this afternoon that we would continue to remember her. We prayed Friday night concerning her broken. She had two broken vertebrae. She had went through a long day. It seemed like of chemo today, so her voice was not quite as strong as it was, I think, towards the weekend when I talked to her before. And there was a spot they found on her spleen. But she's still encouraged, and we're just fighting this with her. So I said, we will pray tonight. So hallelujah. Lord, we do not believe that we're heard for our much speaking, but we can stand in the faith that we're standing in and say, Lord, that your word triumphs. We stand on the fullness of your word, and I believe that Jesus Christ suffered and died under the penalty of sin for all my sicknesses. And in the name of Jesus, I speak life unto Callie Pearl. We continue to speak. Lord, you have answered and you continue to answer. Lord, we speak continual strength to her, the dissolving of every single cell of this lying symptom. And in the name of Jesus, we call her whole. We call her whole. And we give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Just as the Lord leads your daily prayers, remember to pray for those that are temporary, and I say temporary, shut-ins, that they would be here. My mom and dad's in that category. Callie Pearl, though not living here, is in that category. She just misses us so bad, and she just continually talks about how much she misses every single one of you. And Yolanda Gonzalez, we talked to her this past week, and she said, you know, she just really misses us. She loves us, and these are people that, because of their health, they're not here. And another reason why you need to pray for me that I go ahead and get this thing done concerning our video ministry. Because those people could watch us. And if they did not watch us directly, they could watch us on YouTube from a recorded place so they could enjoy our services. Presently, they can listen to our services, and that's a help. Amen. But there's even another step that we need to take. Hallelujah. John Henson wanted me to tell you that he sends his love. He really thinks that we're just the greatest. And Hallelujah. I'm not going to tell him any different. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to let him believe that. Glory to God. Amen. He says, you guys are really doing it right. You're doing it right. So, and I talked to the Big D yesterday, and that's my pastor, Dave Roberson, and he wanted me to tell you guys hello, and he was just doing wonderful. He was just, all he wanted to talk about is the Word and God and miracles, and he was really sharp, and he just, he said, man, I am just a mere, he kept telling me, I'm just a mere 73. I got at least like 27 more years till I get to be 100 to preach the gospel, and man, he was ready to whip the devil all day yesterday. So I love that. I love that. I can't wait to see him in just a few weeks. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you weren't here Sunday for whatever reason, that was fine. But please, I would encourage you, listen to the message. It's called Distinctions, and it's in thank you. Praise you, Jesus. It's in two parts probably, isn't it? Because the guy did not know when to shut up. But it's really from God, and it's simply called Distinctions. After a tremendous, I mean a tremendous advertisement of how well our Wednesday nights have been being taught, I'll tell you what, I just wanted to go listen to that guy. But Brother Homer gave a tremendous exhortation concerning coming and being a part of Wednesday nights, and because of the teaching that was being done. And after that, would you believe it, that I will not be speaking tonight. Hallelujah. I just knew the Lord wanted me involved in some other spiritual things this week in which I could give my time to. And I told Homer well in advance, I said, I'm going to be doing such and such this week. So please prepare. Well, give Homer a great big hand. Hallelujah. Amen.